But let's talk about a potential Fitzpatrick deal.
Put Geno out there. Get Hackenberg ready for a couple years down the line. It frustrates me.
I can tell that with the head shaking. You're ready to go to Geno right now.
If he's not there day one on the contract that we're offering him,
I don't want him.
Give me the loot. Give me the loot. Give me the loot. Give me the loot.
NYJ. Couch Scouts. I'm your host,
Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking. And my co-host,
Justin Schwartz.
No question.
We're top five.
Top five, dead or alive. NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
They gave him the loot. Mac anteed up. Did the Jets make the right move?
I didn't get my contract, but he did walk in day one.
This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jet fans?
Producer Gio Garcia in the background. And the Fitzmagic special has arrived. The man made it in on time. That was a huge part of you being okay with it. How you feeling?
Yeah, he did make it on time. Obviously, he did not get the contract I wanted to give him. They gave him what he wanted, but I knew he wanted to be there day one. My teammate stuff, talking about how he's got to be a good teammate for all the off seasons, wasn't there. But they want him. They're happy with him. Again, I'm still upset we gave him that money, and we're not going to see Geno for his last year.
You were that ready to go to Geno Smith.
Oh,
as
yeah.
you have said already.
Yeah.
You were that ready to turn this veteran team over, hoping to take the next step, offensively especially. You were ready to hand those keys to Geno Smith.
Definitely. Just because this player wanted his money, he wasn't there through any of the offseason. He hasn't been there in 6-7 months, he said the other day. He's just getting back into football. He hasn't done anything. Geno's been there from the start. And
Geno's been on the contract.
And with what you said, with this veteran team would have been like veterans and would have handled Geno just as good as they're handling Fitz now. Obviously, they're happy because they had such a good season last year. But I don't expect them to have the season they had last year. Like, we talk off air. You don't expect Fitzpatrick to have the season he had last year. What I do expect is for this team to be more clutch than they were last year.
I can see that, especially with the veteran presence of Matt Forte in the backfield and hopefully getting something out of the tight end position. Any quarterback that we were putting under center could have grew with this offense, with both of those additions helping what we were already bringing back. But the fact that it's Ryan Fitzpatrick and the rapport that was built with Eric Decker, with Brandon Marshall, with Quincy Enunwa, this guy we've spoke on air and off, is going to be a part of this offense and somewhat a big part of this offense.
But we all know that the offseason is part of winning championships. And for 2 years with the Jets, he wasn't there for those offseasons.
The offseason is right
now. This is the beginning of the season. I'm talking about everything after and before the season. And I don't talk about 2 weeks in training camp, which he was hurt last year for. So he really didn't have two offseasons with the Jets. And now he's coming back and we're going to do the, I feel like we're going to do the same thing. We're going to get 10 games. We're going to not going to be clutch in the last game. We're going to miss the playoffs. Just what he's done throughout his career. Again,
okay,
43 and 61, never making the playoffs. Okay. So it's not like we haven't seen Fitz do this before. And I'm not fighting that I'm unhappy that Fitz is on this team, because it's fine. Either one, Geno or Fitz would be fine.
I don't see how you could be unhappy. This is a team looking to take the next step. And you can't do that with constant turnover. We've done it in the front office, and you can't do it at the quarterback position especially.
But at the same time, you can't do it when the player's not always there and they're talking about contract
You're
issues.
You're talking about organized team activities. You're talking about OTAs. Really, what is getting accomplished? The type of relationship that
keeping
these
your
guys,
body in football. Keeping your body and your mind in football. This guy said he had to throw the rust off because he hasn't been in football in 6 or 7 months.
And that's what this is for right now. And that's why you had such validity to your point and you stressing the fact that it was important he was there day one. I was willing to sit on 14 practices and a preseason game. My deadline, which I was going to be asking you just to reiterate the fact of how much you were driving home day one. My personal deadline was Monday, August 15th. Again, 14 practices, but I looked at
That's insane.
I looked at it, though. You still had a beautiful chunk of training camp to knock the rust off, as you said. And I personally felt you got a chance to give young quarterbacks big-time reps. A preseason game like week one, you send Geno out there, maybe for an extended series as to what you would normally give your everyday starter. And then you're looking at Petty and Hackenberg, in that order, getting major reps. With reallocation of carrying four, and we're going to get into if we could even carry four. But with the reallocation of that and the snap count of both practice and then trickling down to a preseason game, really with a veteran like Fitz, who you throw the stats out there and how many games are played to get those stats, with a veteran like Fitz and the type
only
of rapport,
105.
And the type of rapport they built like that last year. Geno got rocked, and these guys came out hot.
But again, we agree he's not going to have the season he had last year. So in that case, not having this offseason, again, from my point, is that we don't push any more to go further next year. We're doing the same thing we did last year. He's coming into training camp, got to get used to everybody's game again, got to do all that again, and then try to go make the playoffs, which again, he hasn't done in his whole career.
Let me ask you something. We're doing the same thing as last year.
And let me throw this stat out there that we talked about earlier.
Another stat. Go ahead.
16-61 when the team gives up 17 points.
Beautiful.
He's got 61 losses in his career.
Terrible record.
That means that every time the team gives up 17 points, he definitely is going
to
lose.
You want me to rattle off why his record's like that? And a big part of why his record's like that? Lack of talent. You want me to rattle off the teams he's played for? The Rams. The Bengals. Come on, man.
It's not like Geno had a lot of talent. Not like Geno had a lot of talent.
I'm not talking these Bengals. I'm talking back. He's playing on the Bills. He got a big deal because the Bills, he turned them around. That's why they foolishly, as some would say, paid him the money.
But that's why I'm okay with going to Geno, because he has a record like this.
Sometimes guys flourish late in perfect situations, and he got a chance to turn around and get back with a coach that he was the most successful with at any point in his career. Now, what I was going to ask you when you were going on your rant with the Jets before. We's going to do the same thing as last year, and we're not going to make the playoffs because he's never been there, you said. We talked about the Brickashaw Ferguson retiring. Is Ryan Clady an upgrade if healthy?
Definitely.
We talked about Chris Ivory leaving and the money he got, but did we not both agree that Matt Forte is an upgrade offensively?
Definitely.
We talked about the tight end position and how we both feel we're going to get something out of Amaro. We got Sudfeld coming back, and basically with the addition of the receivers that we have brought in, and just in terms of overall weapons in continuity, is the offense not going to be able to take another step?
I hope so.
So,
but
how are we going to be the same thing and be unsuccessful?
Because Ryan is known, 12 years in the career, known to lose games in the fourth quarter, known to turn the ball over at the wrong situation. He's known for that.
I can't disagree with that.
So either if the team is stacked or not, the quarterback is having the problem by turning the ball over and losing games.
And I saw that live in Buffalo.
Exactly.
It was a heartbreaker.
So the offense can be as great. We can break records this year. We could. We don't agree that it's going to happen like
but
we did last year.
But you're falling back on a resume.
I'm going to fall back on something that has been going on for 12 years.
I know. You're falling back on exactly which is knowing what the player is. And I again,
should I not preseason?
I cannot disagree with you on that. My point is where this team is. 2015, entering 2016, the type of defense we anticipate having, the upgrade to a special teams unit, let alone the offensive players that I just tried to combat back and forth with you. The fact that every facet, a head coach who's going into his second year, every facet of this team is expected to, and rosy glasses for all of us diehard Jet fans, is going to take another step.
Why
can we not expect him to take advantage of the situation he's now put himself in?
But this is great for a point of mine of saying that it doesn't matter if Geno was there either, because we have this stacked team. Why not save the money and hold on to Geno for the last year that we can possibly see him, if we're holding on to him for this final year, and see what he has with this extremely stacked team? But instead, we're going to spend the money on Fitzpatrick, who didn't have an offseason, and possibly not having
question.
That.
I can answer that with one question. Who drafted Geno Smith?
John Izik. The New York Jets did.
Who drafted Christian Hackenberg?
Mike Mack.
who is considered the future of the New York Jets right now?
Hackenberg, definitely.
That is why, in their eyes, I have to bring back the veteran that gives me the best chance to win in 2016 and capitalize on Darrelle Revis still being in his prime.
That's a great
Nick
point.
Nick Mangold still playing at a very, very high level. David Harris playing at an insane level on the inside at a position where his body should have been taking a beating over the past 10 years or so. So we have a chance to win now and continue to build. And when you look at it, what does Geno Smith bring other than muddying the waters of 2017 and beyond by playing in 2016?
Geno brings a player that the Jets organization brought in and is valuable to the team because, again, he's a quarterback. So we wanted to see what his last year had and save some money on this guy that is 43-61.
I keep falling back on him. I'm going to keep
falling back on his resume because that's what I think is important for an old player that didn't have an offseason.
I understand. I've already shown the respect for that. My point is you keep saying the Jets organization to pad yourself on the fact that the general manager that selected the quarterback is no longer here. What you need to be saying is the Jets logo, because that's what you mean by that, because it's not the Jets organization. We have cleaned house, and it couldn't have come at a better time, but we have cleaned house of everybody that had almost anything to do with the selection, player evaluation, and talent wise of Geno Smith becoming a New York Jet. So you can't fall back on the organization. You have to say John Idzik and his regime.
What I'm falling back on is that we're overpaying this player with this contract.
We're overpaying, in your opinion.
In my opinion, we are underpaying for market value.
I understand. There's five other quarterbacks that put up the season that he put up last year.
In my opinion, yes, we're overpaying this guy because of his record and his resume. And we could have just saved that money and seen what Geno has. And the whole Hackenberg thing that you brought up, let's bring the veteran in to help Hackenberg go through. I'm okay with Hackenberg not playing and let Geno and Petty be the two players in front of him for this year and then bringing in a veteran next year instead of paying Fitzpatrick $15 million, which I think is overpaying him because of his resume.
Fitzpatrick $12 million. For Fitzpatrick to make $15 million in 2016, the Jets have to win the Super Bowl. I will cripple my salary cap to win a Super Bowl.
I
give him
$50 million,
he takes us to the promised land.
I agree.
It's monopoly money for us. I'm not worried about that. As long as it fits and we have it allocated, give whatever, whoever, it don't matter. Give them what they want.
And I will shut my mouth completely and say I was totally wrong if he gets that $15 million.
We all would. We literally all would. We are chomping at the bit to watch them hold up that Lombardi. I'm not saying this move gets us there right now. But for what we're talking about, Geno Smith and getting his last opportunity, what does that do for us if Geno Smith turns around and says, you know what? Screw you. You did me dirty for 2 years. So I got to put on film what I can do, and I'm taking my talents elsewhere.
What does that do for us?
Yeah, what does that do for us? Because now if you were letting a Fitzpatrick walk out of spite, and now you committed to Geno just for 2016, we'll say, and you gave him his opportunity, what if Geno Smith has no interest in coming back? So what did that season get for you?
Then that plan would either way still happens that Hackenberg's the future and we bring in a veteran. Okay. Either way, no matter how you see this season or what happens and then happens next season, either way, I think we bring in a veteran. A small-time veteran, like you said, a Hasselback, to come in and just play.
Hasselbacks in ESPN doing multiple television
shows.
Well,
I'm just saying.
He's doing well for
himself. No, I'm saying that kind of player, that kind of player to come in and be there until Hackenberg is ready in another half a year.
The reason I was bringing up that scenario, though, and I do understand where you were going with it, but the reason I'm bringing that up is my fallback of this regime, this coaching staff, are trying to put out a legitimate contender right now, as well as build for what we're talking. It doesn't matter because it's Hackenberg 2017 and beyond. It is the bubble right now, whether it's 17 or 18. That would be quite the luxury to be able to keep him on the bench another year. But my point is they're trying to win now, and they've made it evident that Ryan Fitzpatrick in their eyes, is the best option for this team to win right now.
Obviously, they have.
And they saw Geno all OTA that you were stressing about Fitzpatrick missing.
Obviously, they feel like Fitzpatrick is the one, the win now quarterback. But I'm not so happy that Bowles said he's the starter because of last year. Because missing all that team. And Bowles is a team kind of guy. You can be upset about that, but I think Geno should get an opportunity to at least compete for that.
No, I understand
because
that.
He's got the tools. And last year, he was basically going to be the starter if he didn't get punched in the face.
Coach speak. Coach speak.
Not even coach speak. I'm talking about he would have been the starter if he didn't get punched in the face last year.
I heard you, but that wasn't what I was commenting on. Coach speak is when you hear every man competes for his job. Every man's coming in on an equal playing field.
That's what
field.
I want.
No, that's not what I want at the quarterback position. I want to know who my goddamn leader is. I want to know who's stepping into that huddle and running my offense.
And that'll
offense.
Be determined soon. That'll be determined soon. But we know that Geno has the tools to be a starter. So it's not
no,
like
we
it's
think
so it's,
Geno has
it's
the tools.
So easy, 11 so
and
easily
18.
And clear cut that
oh,
that's
man.
Possible.
11 and 18, you want to talk about records? 35 interceptions and 16 fumbles over 29
Those are not,
games.
You, yeah, what do you what do you
These
what,
are tangible
what do you fight,
numbers.
But I'm saying, what are you fighting against Fitzpatrick with those numbers?
No, I'm fighting
12
the
years
argument
of that,
that you just said we know Geno Smith has the tools to succeed. We don't know that. What we've seen is a man that is careless with the most important object in the game.
He is capable. He is capable. And don't say that Ryan Fitzpatrick is so careful with the football either.
Nobody said that. I was rebuttaling your knowing. That Geno Smith has the tools.
We know that he has the physical tools
to do
it. So
just like you
said,
are you using that against it? Or
there is some,
you can't spin that the other way.
There is some maturity that he needs to do on the field. On the field, he needs to mature. Yes, he needs more time out there, in my opinion. I think he was thrown out there too early, and his career was ruined way too early. He's not playing this year, so his career is basically ruined with his first team that he got drafted to.
He had a huge hand in his career potentially being ruined, definitely being ruined, you can say here, by not anteing up and manning up and hand in another man and another brother on your team what you owe him. You're not going to go there. You just you just brought it there.
No, I don't want to go there saying that he ruined his own career because of that. That's what I don't want
to
say.
No, the reason I'm saying that is because he was in a position to throw the rock to Brandon Marshall. He was in a position to have a second year with Eric Decker, to have another run with that backfield, Ivory and Powell. He was in a position to run that, and he put himself in a position to get his jaw wired shut by a teammate.
I think that his career was ruined before that, in my opinion. It was definitely ruined before that. He was corrupted here.
If you think his career was ruined before that, then you cannot fall back on the fact that he won the job and had the job last year because you can't play both ends
No, but I'm saying that this year should be a competition because of that. I'm not saying that...
And I'm saying that I'm perfectly fine with this team knowing my quarterback is under center day one and in my meeting just like you demanded. You didn't get what you want on the contract. Boo-hoo. It got done, and it got done in the type of fashion that we are still somewhat protected.
I'm cool with that, too. He's there with day one.
All right, well, listen. Our opening for this show was going to be, where do you stand emotionally with Fitz? What's your stance on the contract to Fitz? I feel you felt the emotion, and we've kind of covered both.
We've cleared that up.
So let's get into what tickles my fancy here in the salary cap a little bit.
This is your area.
This is it, baby. Let's get into the $5 million of dead money. Did we put ourselves in a position with this $5 million to not be able to bring back Ryan Fitzpatrick if we want to? And I know you're going to say, maybe it sounds hilarious, we're not going to be able to bring back Fitzpatrick, but he has the type of season we all wish and hope he can have. Did we put ourselves in a position to financially not be able to bring back Fitz?
Possibly, especially if he does well. It does what he did last year. Do I think he is? No. But if he does what he did last year, then again, we're in another situation where do we want to bring back Fitzpatrick again? Obviously, Geno's gone at this point, and we have to pay Fitzpatrick more money.
That's why I'm asking that.
So now 13 years in the league, we got to pay him more.
How much of it? Forget that veteran minimum percentage, bro. The type of money you're talking on a raise, the man just got a 300 and change percent raise. The type of money you're talking on a raise next year, you don't have to worry about the 6.9 annual raise that has been collectively bargained. Trust me. The type of money that he would be anticipating asking for 15, 16 now, let him take this team to the playoffs. And Bradford's playing for 18, he's asking for 20. You're already carrying an extra 5. Mo's deal, which put us in a position to give Fitz the 12 he was willing to quote-unquote play for and not have to move any other money around, balloons to 18 next year. So you already have to account for another 8 on a player contract, and then you have to account for 5 you'd be eating on Fitz, as well as, let's call it a 5 if the Jets were to get their way and get him in at 17. That number's ballooned to 22. It starts to come to a point with the last 2 signings outside of Lee. Your 2 big last signings you made are going to have either a huge jump next year on your cap or the sizable jump you anticipated, and you know that player's walking out the door.
I totally understand that, but I really want to know what you think is going to happen next year if Fitzpatrick barely makes the playoffs or does make the playoffs, loses round 1.
I would need to know what type of development Christian Hackenberg had throughout the season, because we're going to see and hear about this training camp. Those doors get shut, especially week 1. They already locked us out.
I know.
90% of training camp, which I am super salty about right now. But once those doors get shut week 1, you don't know what a guy shows, what a guy doesn't show, and even more so the classroom. Because what this kid is praised for is his smarts. What he brings day 1 is the recognition of defenses, is the ability to absorb information and react quickly.
Do you think that if it goes that way, that Hackenberg, you would want to start Hackenberg next season?
I think
he needs a little bit more time to cook?
That would be lovely.
Because do we want to... This guy might be the real deal, might be, right? Do we really want to throw him out next year? Like,
no,
just
but is
because...
a year enough? Because you're still going to have to go through growing pains. So is a year enough to then say, all right, let's jump into him now with the type of development you hope he can have? I want to say yes. And I want to say yes for where this conversation originated on the $5 million of dead money and Fitz being a free agent next year. This is a $12 million deal, another $3 million he can make, as we alluded to, with winning the Super Bowl. And then this deal voids... poof, gone into thin air is the second year, 5 days after the Super Bowl. Will that be enough for the Jets to say, we're biting the bullet and we're going with who we identified as our future right now?
My thing is that I don't throw him out there next year because of he needs 2 years to sit behind just to get out of the nightmares of hell he just came from Penn State.
Okay, let me ask you.
I think that he needs 2 years to sit and learn the classroom.
That would be great.
And then you throw him out there to have his hiccups, because you're going to have to say that he's not going to be good for another 4 years.
That would be an ideal situation, an Osweiler-like situation.
I think you have to do it like that.
Okay.
And you can't.
Let
you can't say, okay,
here,
we'll just throw it out there.
For that.
Go ahead.
Who's teaching him other than Kevin Petullo, other than Chan Gailey, your coaches? Who's his Peyton Manning? Who's Philip Rivers, Drew Brees? In most recent case, who's Carson Wentz's Sam Bradford? Who is the veteran presence in that room? Because if Fitz is walking and you still want Hack to sit a year, Bryce Petty's teaching Christian Hackenberg what?
No, like I've said before, we bring in an older guy, a guy that's available to come in.
A retread like a Hoyer.
But I
going to be on the market again next year.
Something like that. I think a little bit more talented. Like,
more talented quarterback ain't going to hit the market. Okay, let's say Nick Foles, who's on the market now.
I would do that. I'd be
and
okay
you
with
want
that.
Foles
but
coming
my
in
thing
and
is that I don't
rather
want
than biting
what,
the bullet.
What I
after
don't
letting
want
him sit for 16.
What I don't want is bringing in like a Brunel, like we did with Sanchez, and throw Hackenberg out there and him be too premature. And that's what I don't want. And just have a veteran that can barely win us games behind him. I don't want that.
Brunel was the second year as a mentor type of show you a little bit outside of the field type of thing. He did offer nothing and zero competition. But let's hope, you saw a little bit of it on Hard Knocks, let's hope he brought what he brought. Regardless of what he did for Sanchez, I don't care.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, but I want to know if a new guy, a Matt Moore, a Nick Foles, comes in to learn our system and has any type of clout, not saying Hackenberg wouldn't respect him, but any type of clout to really teach anything. What other than 27-2 over a nice flash in the pan for Foles have you accomplished or shown?
I think,
what are you teaching me? Because you know what? I'm going to have a year of this offense under my belt. And in Petty's case, at that point in time, I'm going to have 2 years of this offense under my belt. You're just coming in to learn it.
I think you brought up Matt Moore. That's a perfect example. Bringing Matt Moore, someone that can possibly win some games. And again, Hackenberg is sitting in the background with Chan Gailey learning.
I've had a soft chub for Matt Moore since he flashed in Carolina.
I know you love Matt Moore.
And he beat us at home, beat us. Like, the guy comes in and contributes. No world beater, but there was a couple times I wanted us to try to get our hands on him. Didn't happen. I don't want Matt Moore coming in here when I let Hack sit for a year. Or in that case, I'm just going to see if I'm biting the bullet on the whole season, which you're kind of doing with bringing in a veteran and then just handing him the keys and saying, go. I'm biting the bullet with Petty. Let me see what he's got. At that point, I'd have 1 year left on his deal. Maybe I can move on from that.
You have to bring some kind of veteran into play because I think you have to cook Hackenberg either way. Either way, you have to cook them. No matter who you put and start out there, Matt Moore, Nick Foles, any of those guys, it doesn't matter how good they've been in their career. You have to throw somebody out there because you need to keep cooking Hackenberg. You can't just throw him out there or let him compete with an older guy. The competition, no, I don't agree with that.
I would hope he'd beat out anybody like that you're bringing in at that point.
But I still
let
him sit and learn.
In my opinion, we spoke about it last year, Bust. We both felt it would take a solid two, which is what you're trying to sell me with Hack, for Petty, that it would take a solid two. But at that point, man, I want to see sink or swim and let this kid battle it out with Hack. Because I don't think anybody you're bringing in is contributing to your future. And at some point, your future has to become your present.
I just feel like in the past, we've never let a quarterback cook like this before. And see what he's had. We've just thrown him out there and
we've
see if he can sink or swim.
But that's what I'm saying.
Just bring in somebody. Let him play. Matt Moore, Nick Foles. Let him come in and play if we're not bringing Fitzpatrick back next year. And let this kid cook, man. Just let's see what we can do by doing that. We've never done that. This is a new regime. Let's try it.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with the idea of it. It's just that delicate line that has to be towed of building for the future and being seriously a contender right away. And somehow, some way, with the roster that this regime took over and took a job saying, I'll turn that around, they got us going in one hell of a direction.
Mikey Mack, in the last couple weeks, Moe at the deadline, Darren Lee before training camp, Fitzpatrick before training camp, unbelievable.
Perfect lead-in for where I wanted to go. Joe Banner put out the tweet, and a couple other outlets have spoke about this, but we got to bring it up. Maccagnan, let's just use the word caving, on deals so late, does it start to set a bad precedent that all you got to do is wait this guy out and you get what you want?
Not until he you wait him out and then he doesn't give you a contract.
The guy sat in that chair. He's been in the higher ups of these NFL offices. So there is a credential to what he's saying. I want to know how you feel about that.
What I feel about is that you don't test him until he doesn't give you the contract. You wait too long, he might not give you one day. But
I like that.
But
I like
he's that. Not going to give you one. But you got to also say, he's making these deals at the last minute. They're all deals that in favor us. They're not bad deals. They're all deals that as fans we want and as a team we think is good. So it's not
I
like
love that.
That
other
he's
than
not,
the $5 million that people complained about, which I'm going to let you finish, but that was a joke. Other than that $5 million, you're 100% right.
Like he's not making deals at the last minute that we don't think are right. He's making good deals. Like I think Mike Mack has done a great job. And like what you just said, are people saying, oh, I just have to wait him out? Yeah, see what happens. When you're not that good of a player and he really doesn't want you, see what happens.
I would love to see. I hope we never get in that situation, but I would love to see what type of player would bring that situation to a head.
He hasn't bringing in any players that we're like, hey, He's got too big of an ego. We don't want him.
Santonio?
I'm so happy he's not here.
The minute he was chugging that champagne, it was over.
So happy he's not here.
You know what he's doing right now. You should know what he's doing right now because you watch it.
I don't know.
That's the number one prime time diva receiver for Gruden's quarterback camp.
Wow.
Yeah, if you
love Gruden.
Watch the hack episode. I'm telling you, he's basically the top target.
Wow.
Yep.
Is Braylon out there too?
Yep. Nah.
Braylon
is definitely modeling somewhere right now.
Did you see? Yo, he's getting big, man. Getting big. I bet you go out there and run over people. So in the middle of our tough season, which we have an extremely tough season this year, we go on a streak and we lose 6-7 in a row. Do you give a young guy a chance or do you go right to Geno? What are you doing there?
It's tough, and it's tough because did we lose 6-7 in a row in this, for instance, because of injury? Because if I'm losing Decker, if I'm losing Marshall, if I'm losing Forte and Powell, what am I bringing a young quarterback in for? I'm now risking, as you said, throwing him into the fire and he's not ready like we always do. So I may not be putting a young quarterback in a position to gain game time experience with guys that we're going to look back, Geno Smith, and say, he was throwing to David Nelson. I can't look back and say Kenbrell Tompkins was the top option. I can't look back and say Sharon Peak was the top option on an offense due to injury or situation or whatever caused us to lose 6 or 7 in a row. Because if this team loses 6 or 7 in a row, we would have had much bigger problems than the quarterback position.
So in that case, will you shape the question into if there's an injury issue with the team and we lose 6 or 7 in a row, you're staying with Fitz? Or if there's no injury problem and Fitz is just losing games in the fourth quarter, these teams are just much better than us.
Fitz is losing games for us. He is the sole reason, and it is obvious. It's on Todd Bowles to have not made a roster move previous to that to take care of that at the quarterback position. So it's just such a loaded question that it's hard to just stand behind one response because there have to be so many scenarios played out for the talent we have on this team now due to McCagnan and his staff of Heimerdinger and the guys he brought in. There's way too much talent for this team.
And it really has to be a loaded question because Fitz has never really had talent like he has right now. But I can say, what if Fitz takes one of those seasons after getting money like he's had in his career?
And I can see it.
Where he goes 4-12 twice, you know?
I can see it because, like you said before, this is a 12-year vet that we have a legitimate subpar resume on. And my argument is the magical pixie dust that's in the air of a perfect situation and a perfect storm at the right time. So it's two points that kind of counteract with each other. Because it's something that's not tangible and you can't see. And I can see what you know that Ryan Fitzpatrick has been and in your opinion is.
Yeah, just because 33-55 before last year is a hard record right there.
I hear you.
That is a hard
record. For the question you're asking, I just think there are so many things that would have had to have gone wrong. And just what would be the reasoning behind it? And if it is solely at that position, like I said, it's on Bowles to make a move. Now, if I'm going to only answer that, and that was the question, I am going to Geno Smith because of the game experience, because of the physical tools and pure talent that we've discussed. And then if you get to a point where the New York Jets have lost 10 games in a row, I'm going to Petty. And I'm going to Petty because I'm committing to giving Hackenberg the year. I'm not going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars and scream from the rooftops that Bortles isn't playing and what the Eagles are doing right now. And if that team does what we're proposing here, they're going to turn to Wentz.
So
it's going to be a bad look on that part.
Do you ever go back to Fitz if Fitz gets benched?
There's no reason to go back to
Fitz.
So
even paying that money just for the rest of the season, we're just going to keep him there if he gets benched one time.
Yeah, that's the point of that whole back and forth with a contract, in my opinion. It's the point of trying to find that number on a front office level, on an administrative level. How much am I willing to lose the minute that guy puts his pen to paper? And that's why it's such a struggle, Joey Bosa with the Chargers right now, of when cash flow is coming in and this and guaranteed money. And the minute an organization, I feel, puts a contract on the table, that's a la the casino. The minute you buy in, consider your money lost. that team considers that money spent and gone. So whether you get what you expect to get out of it or you get nothing out of it, benching fits and having to eat it, that's the point of the negotiation, in my opinion. What is the most I'm willing to go and consider a loss? That's like every contract, in my eyes, mm-hmm. that is signed from an administrative level.
Okay, I got you.
So that's how I honestly would look at that. There's no sense in going back to Fitz. You're stuck with what you're stuck with, and you're glad that Mac didn't commit money to him. We're committed on dead money, like we already discussed. But you're then glad that Mac didn't commit money to 2017 and truly cave, because everybody out there could say what they want and have their arguments. We're Jet fans. We're never gonna be pleased.
Never. But I agree with you. I definitely think that if Fitz gets benched, you put Geno in. If Geno doesn't win any games, you then have to give, I would give Petty 4 or 5 games at least out there to finish the season up.
You're starting to get into the point of not having those imaginary games left, though, because you got to figure you come into the season, you're not starting 0-6, 0-7. This is a fairy tale, for instance, but it's solid for this argument and where we're going and where we brought it with 2017 and beyond. So I just think you go to Petty for another reason. You put him on audition for 31 other teams. And maybe you view Petty as your long-term too. Maybe you've seen enough in 1 year to know he's not going to be that. But you put him on audition for maybe 2 games. That, in our scenario, would possibly be what's left. Maybe even 1. You just put some game film out there, and you keep your fingers crossed that he shows enough to where a team's willing to maybe throw you that 4 back. So now a new regime gets a chance to get a mulligan on it.
You really don't even know if they even go to Petty first. If we keep 4 quarterbacks, they obviously like Petty on the team. You keep Petty on the team, they want to see what he has as soon as Fitz goes down the drain.
I cannot wait to break that down as we get into and toward the culmination of training camp. And really, is this team going to have the ability and really back up their talk and carry 4 quarterbacks on the 53-man roster? Because it is asinine, in my opinion. But the situation we're in, how don't you?
Yeah, how don't you?
How does it add up where you get to a point where you're not?
Where does Petty stand on a practice squad situation?
Absolutely eligible. But the problem is, he has to get exposed to 31 other teams to do that.
And you think that he would be gobbled up quickly?
With a trade-up, with the general manager that selected him and made that move, still sitting in that chair, and the lack of pure quarterback talent throughout the league, I'm not saying a guy that we'd be releasing in this scenario is a world beater, but I don't think he's making it back to your practice squad. Because if I'm a team like the Saints, who's trotting out Luke McCown still, you know what I mean? Somebody like Kansas City, who's got a Kevin Hogan and a Murray out of Georgia. Maybe they look at Petty and they had him rated higher. They cut bait on a Murray and they just fake, for instance.
I would hope that Petty would be one of the last cuts, so we would have an opportunity. Maybe the other teams have their roster set and they know what they're doing at the quarterback position. So if we had to, he would be our last cut.
Understandable with that. My point is, though, with the lack of real talent around the league and the amount of retread quarterbacks that we were discussing in scenarios for 2017, I don't foresee a team not looking at Bryce Petty and saying, hey, we had that same 4th round grade on him.
Let's
cut bait with this undrafted free agent we're hanging on to right now at 3 who had a good camp. I think him as a person, and with his representation, I think they'd be more than open to coming back to the Jets. I just think it would be out of their hands and our hands at that point, because once you expose a player, same thing I said with contracts, you have to be ready to lose him.
No, I agree that other teams would probably look at him. I would like to see that he would be our last cut either way, just because we know how much we feel, how the Jets feel about him if he is the last cut.
Well, we made it through this entire episode for once, not bringing up the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, or Bill Belichick, and I'm going to be excused on those 3 swears. But I just had to bring up the fact that we're bringing the Frank La Peruta swear jar into the Couch Scout Studios here. We got the helmet. I'm sick of us talking about New England and all the above. So anytime I hear that on this...
Who?
Very good. Very good. Anytime I hear that on this podcast, between me, you, the producer, or anybody that's on, $1 into the helmet.
That's a lot of money right there.
I owe four already. I owe four already.
See
gentlemen.
How much that can add
I'm
up.
I'm good for it, though. I got good credit.
Add up. We say a lot of curse words around here, so it can add up.
Now we're going to be getting into the little promo that we were dropping throughout the week and going to hand it over to our producer to announce who won our little chime in and let us know your take on the Jets quarterback situation.
That's right, Jet fans. We're going to get to that in just a second, but I do want to pose a question to our two hosts here. Do you think now, with Fitzpatrick on this team, with the defense as it is, and the special teams going in the direction that they are going in, is this a complete team?
I definitely think it's a complete team. Obviously, there's competition needs to be sold. The tight end position, and if McLennan can hold out with Snack's position. Those are the two positions on the team that I think are very, very edgy, because I think we're going to have to put a young guy on the edge anyway. So either way, I'm okay with that. I still think our team is pretty good.
I have injury concerns at pivotal positions such as left tackle, overall performance of the offensive line. What are we getting out of our tight end position and at outside linebacker at defense? With all that being said, and touching on the special teams contributing more to the overall success and field position of the team, I feel this is absolutely the most complete team that the New York Jets have fielded since probably 2009.
That's fair enough, and I can't wait to get into all this stuff in our further training camp episodes that we have coming up this year. But let's get right into the brass tacks of it. The winner of the $20 Dunkin' Donuts gift card is Matt Casey with the tweet, "If Fitz isn't signed by day one, name Gino the starter, just need to move forward. Other guys got a season to get ready for, not fair to them."
Well done, Matt. Up and coming with WFAN, a name you folks will definitely be hearing in the near future. And remember, this was still at the time where Fitz was unsigned, and we were asking for your take on where the Jets should go.
That's right, Matt. And if you're listening, feel free to give us a shout on Twitter so we can get in touch with you and find out where to send that gift card to.
For everybody else, we thank you for listening, for downloading, for chiming in. You can find us as usual on Podomatic, Apple iTunes, and Stitcher. Anywhere else podcasts can be downloaded.
Hey, Jet fans, follow us on Twitter at NYJCouchCouch. Send us your comments and questions, and look out for our future prizes and giveaways.
Want to give a shout-out again to our producer, Gio Garcia, laying it down on the board, and our co-founder, David Schwendeman. A very big thank you again to you fans, and as always, thanks for listening. Let's get one.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast, audio of the free.
And the home!